Hello everyone, you're listening to J Talk Extra Time.
Thank you very much for that, Kai Steele, with the very grand introduction there. Yes, this is J Talk Extra Time. My name is Stuart Smith. With me, as usual, is John Steele. John, how are you?
Hello, Stuart. I'm very well. And yeah, thanks for letting my little boy contribute. He was still awake at this late hour and wanted to get involved. So thanks for giving him the floor.
No. It was far better than we do. So I'd like to thank Kai for his introduction. We've got a little bit of a different kind of podcast tonight, which we'll go into just a little while, John. But yeah, we have to start with the COVID-19 updates. We won't go on too much about it because, quite frankly, I'm bored of it. to be quite honest,
you and Donald Trump, I think, both bored of it.
The dream team. I think currently 7 municipalities in Japan are under an emergency or a state of emergency declaration. Tokyo and surrounding prefectures, obviously, so Tokyo, Chiba, Saitama, and John's home patch of Kanagawa. You are Kanagawa, right? I haven't missed.
Yes, yeah, okay, yeah.
Osaka, Hyogo, and Fukuoka. Those are the 7 municipalities that have been included in the national declaration of emergency. Aichi and Gifu kind of going their own way tomorrow and joining the party unofficially and declaring their own states of emergency. What that means for football is that the teams in those municipalities have shut down on the whole. I know most clubs in those areas are suspending football operations for at least the next 2 weeks. The league isn't going to start until June 1st. At the earliest, and even that seems a little bit of a stretch at the moment. Yeah, just we haven't. I don't remember any more players coming down with the virus. Do you, John? The ones we talked about last week.
To be honest, I've not really been. This is going to sound bad, but I haven't really been checking in with the football news as regularly as usual this week, just because there hasn't been as much. You know, as much as I think, like you, there's a little bit of COVID-19 fatigue setting in, where it's either there's no news or it's bad news on the sporting front. And again, we should always say, you know, obviously football is not the most important thing in the world right now, but it's our focus on this podcast as ever. And so, yeah, I haven't seen or heard of any more players or J-League players, I should say, coming down with it. But yeah, I think, like you said, the state of emergency, which is not as bad, it's not as bad as it sounds. It's certainly not the lockdown type situation seen in many European countries. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, football, J-League football looks, if we're honest, the situation looks pretty bleak, and it looks as far away as ever. I'm starting to think even... you know, late summer might be optimistic at this point. We might have to just come to terms with the J-League season, as we were expecting it, I think, is almost lost at this point. And we will have to have some kind of gap-filling tournament once football can resume, just to get us through to kind of winter and the close season and start again. Hopefully in 2021. I mean, I really hope I'm wrong about that, but all the noises, you know, reading the tea leaves on this one, it doesn't look good. I don't know what you think.
Well, it's difficult to have a different opinion to that, just because the situation isn't any better now than it was when the J League was postponed in the first place. And what are we a month on from that? Over a month? Just over a month on from that, I think. And so, yeah, it looks as far away as it has done. And so, yeah, I think the June 1st start is pretty ambitious at that. And I think we'll probably, if we are looking at restarting this year, I think we are going to probably start in July, I would say. End of June, beginning of July.
But then, you know, the players, now that so many teams are shut down, as you said, I mean, what kind of physical you know, condition could they potentially be in? Because we talked last time about how players were still training and be in some kind of shape. I mean, that might not be the case if you know, is it realistic to suspend football operations for 2 months and then come back and play play competitive games quite soon after that? I mean, the circumstances might dictate that it's a necessity, but yeah, it won't be ideal. I don't think it's going to be some tough calls might have to be made by the league and by individual clubs later on.
Well, Swagan, Kanazawa and Matsumoto have already made a tough call by scheduling a training game for this Saturday, which will be live on DAZN, I think.
But I think, is it which one of these teams has then announced that the players will be suspending the football from Monday? Is that right?
I didn't see that.
Tweeted about this. I can't remember. I'm not really with it at the moment. It's one of the two, and probably I assume both have said that they'll be. The players will be training, you know, they'll be going home, they won't be coming in for training from Monday. So I can't understand, you know, it seems weird to say that it's okay to you know, high five and hug on a Saturday afternoon, but by Monday it'll be dangerous, so we can't.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure if there's I'm sure there is some pressure on DAZN obviously to provide content at the moment with the kind of barren sort of broadcasting landscape.
Yeah, but
a training game between these two is not box office, is it? I mean, to be honest, I was excited about it for about 30 seconds, then I remembered I hadn't really enjoyed any of the other training games.
Exactly. Yeah. Watched. I mean,
what is the point? You know.
Yeah, I agree with that. If DAZN is staking their reputations on J2 training matches, then. They're in bigger trouble than
just on DAZN. Mm. before we move away from the frankly pretty grim football landscape, is I did read that they are asking, or possibly have asked already, the Premier League in England, in the UK, to defer payments on broadcasting rights. Whether that's a sign that DAZN is hurting for cash or they're just trying to, you know, cover themselves, I'm not sure. But it's an interesting development. And, you know, it's hot on the heels of that story from last week about how I think DAZN was sort of trying to renege or refuse to pay for some rights because games hadn't been played. It's a very high stakes kind of brinksmanship. And I've never been an international, you know, sporting rights salesman, so I don't know the drill, but yeah, I think that doesn't bode well if DAZN is hurting for cash so badly, or even if they are that kind of opportunistic in trying to get out of things. So I hope it's not the case with the I hope that's not happening to the J League. I think Mitsuru Murai was pretty full on. He wasn't really full on in discussing the terms of the deal with DAZN, but he said that's not. He said DAZN hadn't refused to pay the J League any money, and hopefully the DAZN isn't trying to defer payments to the J League. The J League needs the broadcast money a lot more than the Premier League does, or well, maybe not, depending on what we read. But I read that the JFA is giving some money to the J League as well. Is that right? JFA is going to donate.
I did see that. Yeah, I did see something about that.
I don't think it's a massive amount. It's not like a. You know, breathe a huge sigh of relief moment, but yeah, it's interesting to see people are, I think, broadly speaking, trying to help each other out where they can, and I think that's very much welcome and very much needed.
Mm. Yeah, so that's basically the COVID-19 update. Yeah, we'll leave it there because yeah, we've said all we can, and I'm not really sure how much we can offer.
We've got to be upbeat for the listeners, you know.
We do. Speaking of that, we're going to go back 12 years to a time when things were a lot simpler off the pitch. Yeah, I said we're going to do something a bit different. We're going to look back at the final day of the 2008 season in J1. Why? That's a great question. But the reason why is A, because it's buck wild, it's a whole load of craziness, and B, it involves two teams from the J2 Kanto Bites, well, three teams from the J2 Kanto Bites wheelhouse. We've got four teams They're all Kanto teams, Jesus. Sorry, I should have researched that a little bit.
Just took it to my veins.
Yeah. So we're going to look at the, like I said, the final day of the J1 season in 2008. The two games we're going to look at in particular are Jeff United hosting FC Tokyo. And at the same time, we're also going to be keeping an eye on Tokyo Verdy versus Kawasaki Frontale. Now, just to give you a little bit of background on this situation, I wasn't aware of this set of events until very recently. And when I say very recently, probably about a week or two ago. But the final day saw Jeff United started the day in 17th. They were 2 points behind Tokyo Verdy. And also Jubilo Iwata, I think. But they had a far worse goal difference. And so they obviously needed to win and hope that Tokyo Verdy lose. On the flip side, FC Tokyo were in, I think they were in fifth. And they were only 3 points behind Nagoya, who were in second. I think the first place was out of reach for them. But yeah, Tokyo had a lot riding on this game. You'll see a couple of familiar faces through the highlights of this game. So what we're going to do, John, because you've got this queued up on your system as well, right? These highlights.
My fingers are poised over the play button on YouTube, yeah.
So what we're going to do, dear listener, is John and I are both going to hit play on this video simultaneously, and we're just going to give our reactions as this day unfolds, and yeah, we'll give our brief reactions, kind of post game reactions. Yeah, once the video is finished, once you listen to this, you'll have kind of seen the link in the tweets and in on the podcast homepage. But the video is kind of 6.5 minutes long, but it's wild, it's crazy. So we're gonna go through it, John. So when I say 3, 2, 1 play, when I say play, you're gonna press play, okay?
It's foolproof,
which is a problem for us. But are you ready? 3,
yes.
2, 1 play. Okay, so we've got a little bit of Jeff United, the fans behind the goal looking in good voice.
You see, Seichiro Maki has some like writing on his captain's armband, and if you glimpse it there, I don't know if that's still allowed.
But, I don't know if that's allowed. Well, Hashira Tani back there as coach. See this. Days. So Kawasaki are on the attack right now. So this is only a minute into the game.
Mm-hmm.
So watch this.
Oh.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Are you ready?
Yeah, Juninho. Yeah. Oh, and another amazing save. Oh, no, the crossbar. Unbelievable.
So yeah. Kawasaki should really be up. And then we have this.
Kawasaki should be 2-0 up already.
Here we go. That's definitely not a penalty. I think we can both agree.
That's definitely not a penalty. Yeah, that is trying to earn a foul, isn't it? It's cool. Yeah. Who is that? Is that Hash? That's, what's his name, isn't it? I forgot.
Here we go.
The veteran who retired. Yeah.
There's a red card.
This is a red card for Fukunishi.
Yeah, watch this.
Goodness gracious.
So.
Oh.
And it's. Here we go. And it's a penalty as well.
Good to see Verdy players surrounding the ref. You know, Arsenal style. But you're supposed to do it before he's made the decision, I think, not after. Juninho misses it. It's not his day, is it?
It's so far.
His day.
Hashira Tani, the Verdy coach, must be thinking it is our day. Because then this happens.
Yes. FC Tokyo, Kabore heading them 1-0 up. Achieve it. Alex Miller doesn't look happy.
Do you know what? I for some reason, I had it. When I watched this the first time. Oh, here we go. Kawasaki again.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that looked like Nelsinho as Jeff coach.
Oh, yeah. It does look, but it's Alex Miller, yeah. Yeah, of the miracle which should unfold if we've got the right video.
Here we go. Yeah, who's this? On his right foot.
Yeah, fresh-faced youngster.
And Naga, I think,
Tomoyuto.
Well, I think we see the origins of bad Jeff goalkeeping there.
Yeah, that could have been handled better, couldn't it, I suppose. Yeah, now here we've got Carl.
There you go.
You have it.
Cat amongst the pigeons.
Yeah.
A young Renatinho, yeah. But at this point, Chiba are still going down because they're losing against their opponents. Oh, that's a meaty challenge, jeez.
Yes. But here comes one back. So, yes.
All right, that's all right, yeah.
Yeah, Jeff's just 2-1, Jeff. Just one goal behind now. And then Yazawa. One of the best goals, one of the best strikes of ball in his entire career, I think, that goal, considering the pressure, yeah. But yeah, so 2-2.
Was that Toda Kazuyuki as well? Was he a Jeff player then?
I don't think so.
Tokyo, FC Tokyo doing Tokyo Verde no favours at all.
Yeah, Yasuki Kono showing why he was such a staple in the national team.
Yes.
But in midfield, not at centre-back. Yeah. Horrible challenge.
I mean, that is a brilliant penalty.
From Einaudi. I want to keep in mind this is the last game of the season. You can see from the caption that's his second goal. He was a real flop. If any player would have been short on confidence, it'd be him. But that penalty was a real...
Yeah. That was
not sure if it was like it meant that much to him or it meant so little that he was prepared to rasp.
So now Hashira Tani knows that Jeff are winning. So he knows that Tokyo Verde have to get a goal.
Yeah, they're in the brown stuff, aren't they?
They are.
Yes. So they're
on the attack now.
Pushing to the wind. Yeah, here we go. Kazuki Hiramoto, that's the player who was diving in the first half. His name's just
Well, that looks like a penalty to me. And Hashira Tani as well.
Yeah.
See, that's a good thing. Like he knows they're getting relegated at that point.
The possible foul on the keeper there.
I'm not sure there's any possible about it. But then, first this happens. That's a beautiful through ball. And then just watch this. Oh.
Yeah, it's funny because there's not that many situations where you would want Tatsuya as he's your first pick, but for a finish like that, it's unbelievable. Yeah, so the Jeff game finishes. So Jeff game's won finished. 4-2,
and then just when Verde bang.
Kengo Nakamura, yeah.
I mean, that's just the icing on the cake, that. And so, the score comes up on the big screen at the Fukuari, and then it's all...
Yeah, it's the tears.
Yeah.
There's promises that this kind of chaotic season will never be repeated. yeah, amazing.
Yeah, and the post-match speeches... have a bit of a somber feel for Hashira Tani.
Really of never been back.
Yeah. Oh, Hattori Toshihiro ended his playing days at Gifu. Oh, speaking of Gifu, Ramos Rui, executive director.
Doesn't look happy, does he?
Well, who the fuck are you? Yeah.
I'm trying to get my expensive car.
Yeah, I think he might have said the same to me when I tried to speak to him the first time.
Starting from zero, this team can be fixed.
Like I said, I think you might have told me on the pod like a couple of weeks ago about Jeff's miracle escape, and it wasn't until I actually dived in to YouTube and looked around and found this video that the whole extent of just the mentalness of that day, because Kawasaki could have been like 5-0 up in the first kind of 10 minutes. That's how bad they were. And then Verde going down to 10, but Jeff kind of losing 2-0 with like 20 minutes to go. It's the day that TV companies dream of. on the final yes. day, right?
Yeah, I think that's very true. And I think in the UK, Stuart, Greatest Day by Take That was number one on this day. So if you're a Jeff fan, obviously, that was the greatest day for a good long while. yeah, Jeff had had a really bad season, though, because they'd started, I think I'm right in saying, I'm not sure if it was, I think they tried Ivica Osim's son.
I remember you saying, as
manager, yeah, because, you know, this sort of dynastic theory that Ivica Osim was Jeff's best manager, probably, you know, one of Japan's, certainly one of Japan's most influential for him, as he managed the national team, obviously, for a time in Japan as well. But yeah, his son not really, didn't really work out. And then they had one more go. They recruited another, I can't remember whether he was Serbian or something, Josip Kuze, another kind of sort of Baltic, Balkan, I should say, probably coach that they brought in. But neither of them did any good. And then they... what I like about Jeff is the commitment to random managers. So they then went for Alex Miller, the Scotsman, who I think was assistant at Liverpool at the time, and came over and took over as a head coach. And then he masterminded, and I use the term advisedly, this miracle escape. I actually turned up a pretty interesting, I'll tweet it out actually, an old interview with Eddie Bosnar, the Australian tall centre back. I don't know if you remember him, but he's a real cannon of a left foot at free kicks. But he there was an interview with him, I think, in the Japan Times about playing under Alex Miller. You know, this football club's a big club and it can't be relegated, and you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, he I think the sort of sad coda to this is that this convinced Jeff's front office to keep Alex Miller for the following season, where I think they fired him after 12 games or something, because it wasn't going well. That might be when Josip Kuze came in. I might have that switched around, but I know they were in trouble because they'd gone with Amar Osim at the start of the season.
I was just gonna say, like, Verdy, as far as I know, Verdy, since that relegation, have not been back to the top flight. Is that right?
They've not been back. I don't think they've been back. I feel like COVID-19 has warped time to some extent. So I feel like I'm pretty confident, even in my current state, I'd remember if they had been back. Yokohama FC have been up and down again, I know. But I think Verdy... I mean, people have strong opinions on Tokyo Verdy, and I think some of that's kind of come to the fore again, rewatching some old classic games, you know, because obviously it was Verdy Kawasaki. They moved their hometown to Tokyo, which was a bit of a disaster. Well, an unmitigated disaster. But I think the club now, it's not really... I mean, obviously it is the same club, but I think the getting relegated in a way at that time was kind of closing the door on the old sort of... Verdy as fallen giant kind of narrative to some extent. It was, in my point, I think, is it was kind of a necessary, you know, final act in that kind of sorry saga. And the club is, to a greater or lesser degree, for better or for worse, is very different now. It's run by different people, with a different kind of focus. And I think rebranding the logo and things is part of that. But yeah, it was weird. It's a weird old thing to look back at kind of 12 years ago and see what everybody was doing, you know.
Well, I mean, it was before I came to Japan. So I was in Australia at this point in time. And I hadn't really, I had no interest in the J-League at this point. So, like I said, I had no idea that this series of events... happened. And yeah, just watching it, and it is a, I mean, those two games kind of spliced together
clockwatch.
Yeah, exactly. And like the live table or as it happens, I mean, they're two kind of crazy games, like even just taken individually, but in the context, like, of how one result affects the other. like. And yeah, Kengo Nakamura's Thunderbolt just gets lost in it, but it was a great strike. And then, but
yeah, you'd be I'd be annoyed. You'd be like, "What about my goal? Did anybody see my goal at the end, guys?" It's like, I've never struck a ball more sweetly.
Yeah, they're just focusing on the Jeff United celebrations.
Yeah, I could be wrong. Possibly that might even have been Jeff's first season at Fukuda Denshi.
Oh, well, okay.
At the new stadium. I think there was an added kind of impetus, if you like, or thing. And I think even looking at I look back at the stats, I think there was like 17,000 in the stadium for that game. And, you know, I remember going to watch Jeff in J1 and seeing that stadium sort of, it only holds, it's a nice ground, but it only holds about 18,000. So seeing it full or almost full as I suppose at this point we just took football in general for granted, didn't we?
Months ago.
I certainly took I took watching Jeff in kind of full stadiums for granted. As far as I was concerned, it was a J1 club. Obviously it sounds ridiculous now that they've been in J2 for 10 seasons, but you know what I mean. It's crazy. Yeah, crazy seeing Seichiro Maki looking young and Nagatomo, yeah, bombing forward, cutting in on his right, and we won't say unleashing a fierce drive, but you know, shooting on target.
It took a bad bounce, shall we say? Yeah,
wasn't sure, was he? So yeah, no, that was good, and I think that something about the J League just produces. I mean, I would never say that the J League showcases was the best tactics necessarily, or the best. Best kind of play, if you like, best tennis. Obviously, the best players in the world, by and large, play elsewhere. But in terms of sheer, like, and I think unmanufactured drama, if you like, what's a good word for what's the opposite of manufactured? Natural, you know, non-artistic. What am I trying to say? Do you know what I mean? There's no amount of. I think this is why myself and most fans, we didn't like it when they talked about bringing back the two-stage system. Because, like, well, you're trying to add. I could understand if it wasn't very dramatic. Like, for example, in the US, they have the argument of there's no relegation from Major League Soccer to the league below because they're not affiliated with each other, and that's boring. I totally get the argument we should have relegation to make the bottom of the table exciting in MLS. But I can never understand. For me, it was like, this thing's exciting already. Why are you trying to adds this kind of artificial
it's like
there's a layer of, like, extra, like, it's not the football, the product's not exciting enough. It sounds like it's marketing more than sports. You know,
why do you need to add man-made elements in when it's kind of naturally exciting kind of a lot of the time? We're going to wrap it up there because like I said, we don't have any kind of extra football to talk about, but that was really interesting. I hope the listeners found it interesting, and I wonder how many people we're introducing that to.
We should thank Tokyo Fox, because I think it was his question about Great Escapes on you going to see the Great Escape.
Yep,
that's
right.
It's led us to this point. So if you liked it, it's thanks to him, and if you didn't like it, it's on Stuart for going to see The Great Escape, really.
Yeah, well,
it's nothing to do with me. It's nothing to do with me.
It's not me, Gav. Not me. Well, it'd be interesting to see, like, or to hear about how many people didn't know about this set of events before now. We're gonna have a little trawl through the J League archives, I think, between us, and then next week we're probably gonna kind of find obviously we won't find anything as dramatic kind of as the Jeff United miracle escape of 2018, but we're gonna have a look through, and we're gonna try and find something worthy to talk about, and I don't think we'll be lost for choice, because I think there'll be plenty of stuff. It'll just be a case of kind of trawling through and seeing what comes up, John?
Yeah, I think if there's one, you know, obviously the COVID-19 situation is not positive, but on the plus side, it does mean that not only the J League but other leagues kind of opening up the kind of digital vault a little bit more, you know, and kind of highlights which were difficult to find or maybe overzealously guarded in the past, we can see them a lot more easily now. So I think that's a good thing. And I wish the J League kind of curated a better digital archive in the first place. So hopefully this will spur them on to do a bit more in that area, you know.
Yeah, I hope so. Before we leave for today, I just want to give a shout out to all the Patreons who kind of help this podcast going. And we really appreciate the support. And, you know, we're all for getting a lot more content out if possible. On that particular note, the boss has been in touch, shouting at me like Rui Ramos shouted at that reporter, telling me to tell you, not you John, the listeners, that there's another Who Are You, because it was so successful the last time, that Ben's got a very special guest on his next Who Are You pod, so stay tuned for that. Do you know who it is, John? Don't say, but do you know?
I don't actually.
Oh,
no.
That's interesting.
I know the show's in the pipeline it's coming, so something to look forward to.
Yes, it's coming soon. I think after we put this one out, John, I think Ben's going to be hot on my heels putting the latest Who Are You out. So that'll be well worth listening to as well. Again, thanks to the Patreons, but also thanks to everyone who listens to this. We know it's a pretty rank time around the world. There's a lot of...
For American listeners, rank means bad.
Yeah. I wasn't saying that I'm above John in any station at all. We know a lot of people are having a pretty rough time of things, and if this kind of small podcast that we do gives even just a minute amount of enjoyment or escapism, I think that's a very kind of worthwhile thing. I just want to say stay safe to everyone out there, and I'm sure John, you want to wish the same, right?
Yeah, very much so. And I think if you have NHK, if you have the BS1 channel, I think they're showing some classic J League games. I think, is it Sunday evening? On Wednesday they showed one last night as well.
Yeah, they showed one last night. But I'm not sure. I don't know how regular they're going to be. DAZN is showing a game on Saturday night.
Yeah, so there are sort of classic, J League games to watch. But yeah, it's a tough time for everyone. But hopefully things will be looking up soon. And everybody, stay safe if you can.
Absolutely, completely agree with that. So, but in the meantime, please do. Do stay safe, stay at home where possible. And very special thanks to Kai Steele, who did the amazing intro for this podcast. Everybody stay safe, stay home where possible. And we hope that you enjoyed listening to this, and we hope to speak to you again in the near future. But until then, goodbye for now.